those that don't know, I'll try to go fairly quick. This is just our landing page, themorganreport.com. This is the free newsletter. I suggest you get on it. But if you don't, everything's pretty much here on the blog. So if you look at the blog, all these little thumbnails are here. And these are interviews that I do during the week that are free, that aren't private. And I'm also doing a kind of a wrap up on each one. That's kind of a written summary that's maybe 1,500 words long. So if you're in a real big hurry, you could read those. But what most people miss, because it's so faint, is where my cursor is. I don't have a yellow highlighter to find it, but I'm right here in the middle under books. Follow me up all the way to this very top black ring or black stripe up here at the top. There are these itty bitty icons, and they're all very valuable. So there's our YouTube channel, our Twitter feed, my LinkedIn presence, a corporate Facebook, which I really don't do much, but there are some posting there, a site map, and a site search. So like I said, the blog's almost everything, but if you come over to the YouTube channel, and you're going to hear the ad come on real fast. So I'll click it off. You'll find almost everything I just showed you. And of course, with YouTube, as long as I'm still on YouTube, you can sort by, you know, most popular, most viewed, most recent. You can search by, you know, different ideas. But what I want to point out here for everybody is that I've started filling up this community one. And this one is, of all the videos that I watch during the week, there may be none, there may be one, there could be two in a week that I think are so important that I post them in the community here. Now, there's one that I posted a week ago called "The Cyber Pandemic Has Begun." This is from Christian of the Ice Age Farmer. He usually sticks to the food crisis that I've talked about numerous times, well ahead of the curve, way before almost anybody, and certainly well before the mainstream, which is one of the reasons that you subscribe to a newsletter service like mine. Doesn't have to be mine, but you really want somebody that's in touch with reality, willing to speak the truth at risk of speaking truth to power and paying the repercussions that you might get by the heavy censorship that we're now engaged in throughout the major tech platforms. Regardless of all of that, I will continue to do it until I can't. And we've already got everything over our library anyway. But this is one that I would definitely point out to listen to. It talks about the cyber pandemic being much more important, or much more devastating to us all than the current health crisis. In fact, the person that's in charge of the World Economic Forum said that the COVID-19 would pale in comparison to a cyber pandemic or cyber attack. This is just a backup to this. This is a news reporter, Ted Koppel, who most of you are probably too young to know. I'm old enough to know who he is. He spent, I think it was 2 years researching the EMP threat, either natural by a CME, a solar mass ejection, corona mass ejection, or a variant of that, meaning a man-made one, either by shooting out substations or a cyber attack or some variant thereof. I won't go through all of these. This is one about the Great Depression and what this one's going to look like. So I just want to point that out because it's a very valuable resource for free that I take the time. It's my time and I'm the editor. I'm the one that decides what's important, what isn't. You don't have to agree with me, but I wanted to point that out. So then back to the blog. So then there's a Twitter feed, and this is my handle for Twitter, is at SilverGuru22. And you can follow me there or not. I usually these posts are me or one of my staff. So you can see, you know, I post usually 2 or 3 times a day. I'm not a real big Twitter fan, but I use Twitter as Web 1.0, the original website that I actually built myself. And then from then on had professionals do it. It was basically a link to an item, just like I showed you on a YouTube channel in the community section, but I would put up, you know, 4, 3, 4, 5 a day. Twitter, I kind of use that way. I'll post my own stuff, obviously, but this one I just posted this morning has to do with this price oracle, which is an accurate way to determine the world price of silver. And that's something that most people don't know about, but the price in North America is actually far less than many places in the world, because many places in the world attach a value-added tax on the silver in physical form. Most people just blindly assume that the spot price is what you pay for silver. No, that's what you pay for silver in commercial bar form off of the COMEX. That's what that price is. It's not the real price. Let me reframe that. It is the real price for COMEX silver. It's not necessarily the real price you'll pay in Afghanistan, Argentina, or Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan or Japan or Australia. So there's the Twitter, LinkedIn, limited success on LinkedIn. I post there because it's easy just to do it. Same stuff. I get a lot of ads for people wanting to coach me or whatever. I have been on CNBC. I used to be on Fox Business quite often. I've written 3 books. You can read this. You probably know all this about me anyway. 13,000 followers, which I guess is pretty good. Been writing on the web. This is something, so I'll go back to that. So that takes care of that icon. Facebook, I won't bother with. Site search, you know what that's about. So let me go back to the main page. On this about page, this is the biography, and you get all the these links here to the website, which it's already on. The Second Chance book, Silver Manifesto, which has its own landing page, The Silver Manifesto. I used to have it on Amazon. It sold out. You'll pay a couple $100 for a used copy. You don't want to do that. You just go to silvermanifesto.com and buy it. I lose money on international because shipping's so high. I just charge $15. Usually it costs me $25, but there is about a $10 spiff in the book, which means I make about $10 on these books, but not even that because I paid Lori to ship them, and that's probably $6. I'm not interested in making money on the book, really. I'm interested in getting the material out. Unless you're a really great author, you don't make money writing books. You might hear differently, but I'm here to tell you that's not true, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. So I'm on this about page for this reason. This link here for the Four Horsemen film, I'm in it. It's not about me being in it. It's about the people, other people that are in it. And it's an hour and a half long. I really encourage you to watch this on the weekend or even after work, or if you're home and you've got that hour and a half. It's really a great movie about where we are in the financial system and the age of empire and how there's a cycle from the beginning to the end of all empires. The Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the Mesopotamian Empire, the Mayans, the Sumerians, I mean, you name it. And it seems to repeat. And we are at the end of the age of empire right now on a global basis. So this is one that if you have friends and family that are kind of resistant, that, you know, anyone like me is a conspiracy theorist, or, you know, I don't believe those guys that have been talking about financial collapse, which we are experiencing, by the way. Anyone that's lost their job because of this health crisis is certainly cognizant enough to understand we are in a financial crisis right now. But even those in denial, this movie will kind of tune them up in a very gentle, direct, educational, and entertaining way. So probably oversold that. Contact us. There's nothing special there. Speaking, you're not really interested in that. Consultations, I do them. It's $500 an hour. I don't need the money. I may take this down. I may not. If you've really got something pressing, you know, certainly it's available now. But again, as things get busier and busier, I may take that consultation down. Books, we already talked about them. One I didn't talk about is this one, The Second Chance, written by David Smith and myself. David's worked for me for probably 15, 16 years. This is the book about how to make and keep big money from the coming gold and silver shockwave. This would apply, most of these techniques would apply to any market, especially the commodities. A lot of people, when they're new, do a round trip. They get into a stock or commodity at X, it goes up to 3X, and they ride it all the way down to X. That's called a round trip. You never want to do that. This book will teach you many, many ways on how to prevent that from happening. So that's something that you might consider to be about the best $20 you'll ever spend if you are a trader, even if you're just an investor. That's something I want to point out before we get started here on the main issue of this. So podcasts, that's really just a redo of the videos. I don't even know if this page is working yet. It is. So if you're on Apple, I think you can download them and put them in your file. I don't have much of a following. It started off pretty good, but I'm not sure how big a following I have on that, but we do it anyway as a courtesy to everybody that does use it. The blog I showed you, the subscribe is, this isn't a hard sell. This is just for people that really are interested in the kind of work. Kindle, yeah. So a couple comments, use Kindle, save shipping costs. Yeah, that's the best way to get the book, really, is to use an electronic device. That's fine. And thanks for the compliment on the big silver short. So the main paid work is here. We do analysis. We have model portfolios that are both top tier, mid tier, and speculations. You see my trades. I don't do them often. I'm a position trader, not a day trader. Updates and alerts. And we've done, I should add to this sales page, but We now text you, and I didn't increase the cost, but if you want, it's your choice to give us your phone number. We'll text you. It's a one-way text only. It just tells you that a new report or an alert has been put on the website for paid members, and you'll get that on your phone, and then you can just click from your phone right directly into it. Research, like, probably very few that do the kind of stuff that we do, but there are other newsletters that we, you know, compete with, or our colleagues, whatever you want to say. Be the first to hear a new discovery, true and not true. Some of the ones I have, I am the first to get there, but not in every case. And then what we do, most people don't, is you're allowed to ask me 2 questions per month. Mastermind members are unlimited. And you'll see why here in a second. Sometimes the answer is I can't answer that, but that is an answer. People don't like that. That's very seldom that happens. There's tons of bonus material in there, how to take delivery off the exchange, a gold clause handbook from one of the best constitutional lawyers, Dr. Edwin Vieira, wrote that. We asked his permission. It's posted for the members only. You could find it for free on the web, I'm sure. Harvesting Green on the Peaks, that's how you buy pink sheet penny stocks without getting burned, because most people have never done it before, will get ripped off quite heartily. Even though they're buying a 13-cent stock and paying 16 cents for it, they don't think they're getting ripped off. Well, do the percentage math, you're getting killed. So the basic members, about 500 a year. The masterminds, 2,500 a year. Insiders, I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't have time. Even at 5,000 a year, I don't need the money. And it's just, I'd rather have my time than the money. So there's that. So that's kind of what I want to start with, because I always forget to do it at the end. So I thought, for my benefit and hopefully for yours, there's a lot of free stuff. I've put as much on the web for free than I think anybody in the industry. It does take my most important resource, and that's my time and my thinking, but I'm happy to do it. So there's that. So let's go ahead and start talking about trading, and I will take you to my personal stock charts. And we'll just start here. So copper is one that I look at. So let's just, this is about 5 years. So I could do this with any chart. Let me go ahead and look at a really long picture here, 20 years, and update it. So I'm going to annotate this a little bit for making my points. And so right now, the first place to trade copper, for the way I trade, would be, and I call it a position trade. And I don't know how to freehand things on this. I should probably have spent more time learning this, but I don't know what that one is. Well, that's to undo it. I don't think there's a freehand. Maybe that's it. So there's a cup right there, and I didn't draw it very well. Maybe I can make it better. Yeah, there's. So that's what's called a cup, even though it's distorted. That's a cup, and there really is no handle unless we look at it from a different perspective, which I might do here in a second. But once, to trade this properly, there's nothing, I say nothing, more powerful in trading than a cup and handle formation. And so you don't want to buy low. There's a trade there, and there was a trade there. I'm not disputing that. But if you want to make the big money the way I do, then you want to do what I do. And you wait for a cup like this. It might have taken a couple of years. I don't know. I don't see the scale. Probably a couple of years. And once it breaks above this point here where my cursor is, there's usually a handle out here. Once it breaks to the upside of that, you go long, and then you just follow it up with a trailing stop. So if you did that properly, you would have gone from 90 cents and you would have had a trailing stop. You would have been stopped out probably about $3. So in a futures market trade, and that would have lasted a year and a half or something. So that's kind of the basics. I'll get into a little more here. Let me go back to silver, which is one that I actually did. And so here's the silver chart. And I'm going to take it from predefined range, select start. So I'm going to start it in 2009. And let's do it like the first beginning of 2009 to when did we peak? May. So I'm going to put in 2011 when it, whoops, I'll get rid of today. 2011, we'll call it 01. And we'll call it, wait a minute, that's the month. I don't want that month. I want 06, but I'll put in 07 to be safe. And then we'll put in 26. All right. So let's do that and update it. So that did it, except it gives me much more data than I want. So let's try it again. Start, end, 2011. I see what happened. 20, whoops, 11. All right, I'll try that again. Update, see what happens now. Okay, so this is what I did. And I had subscribers that retired on this. So let me annotate this. And so we were sitting right here. And I'll just say right here. So I don't know what level you guys are traders. Could someone type in there that's watching this and tell me? I'd like a little bit of feedback. Type in there how many years you've been trading. 1 year or like less than five or more than five. Just let me know. More than five. Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to make some presuppositions here that most of you know most of the basic configurations of commodities. So what happened? The best second trade you can make besides a cup and handle is a channel formation. So this is what I've drawn here. Now, most of you know that all of this stuff in technical analysis is art. There's some, you can make some science about it, but it's mostly an art form. So what I'm saying is on this channel that I drew, someone might draw it differently, but no one would really argue that from this high way back here to this point here, to up here, down here, that we're within this trading band for a long time. And you can see it goes to September of 2010 or 2011, is that right? Yeah. And so what I did was in my paid membership, I said, we're in a channel formation. And I have this expression that I've used for the last 20 years. I let the market tell me what to do. It bears repeating. I let the market tell me what to do. I keep my mouth shut and I listen to the market. I don't tell the market anything. You know why? Because the market knows more than I ever will. Manipulated, not manipulated, whatever your flavor, it matters. Being manipulated matters, but it really doesn't matter to trading because the market's going to do what it's going to do, manipulated or not. So I made a video and I told my paid members what I'm going to tell you for free. And everyone that pays me knows this. It's called the Morgan 3-day rule. And what that means is if it breaks to the upside of the channel, you go long. If it breaks to the downside of the channel, it goes short. You don't really short silver because it's kind of against my religion, but I can hedge. So a hedge is to put on a trade that's equal to your position. So if I have 200,000 in the silver market, if I hedged 200,000 in the downside, I really feel justified in doing that. If I hedged 400,000, that would be a speculation. That'd be a trade. And that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me doing that. I'm allowed to do that. It says in my disclaimer, I'm allowed to do that, but I just don't. I just feel morally, it's important to me morally on my own integrity just to hedge what I have rather than to speculate on a down price in silver. So I said at 19, you're going to go long. And I said, I remember 19 exactly. So maybe I drew that chart down, you know, line down there. Cause I might've only been looking at this much data. I might not have been looking way back here. And it did. So then the 3-day rule comes into play. So after it breaks that level that you objectively determine, or I did for my paid people of 19, it's on close only. It has to remain on close only 3 days in a row. And it has to be on average to at least above average volume. So you can see back here, my cursor, that when that broke out, it actually was above average volume. Now you can see if you're looking carefully, it isn't like huge above average volume, but it is above average. So we're in. Well, some of the complainers will complain, well, David, I didn't get in at 19 because it got to 19.22 and I lost 22 cents. And yeah, go tell somebody that cares because I want you to make money. If you got to give up 22 cents when you get out between 19 and 48, which is when I called the top, that 22 cents down here is going to bother. You got to look at the big picture. So what happened was we went long at 19, followed up with the stop, and everything was great until we got to 26. Which on this chart, for some reason, there it is right there. Okay. 26, I got out. So $7 on a 5,000 contract times however many you have is pretty significant. However, I use technicals, but I also use fundamentals. And what happened was QE2 was announced. Now, QE2 was new enough for all the old heads like me and all the new people like you, I'm assuming that here comes inflation. Now, I was a little remiss on that because at that point, I wasn't sure because I follow the banking system and have for my whole life. And I knew that this QE thing was detrimental to the long-term society, banking system, society, and everything in the economy. But I also knew that it was not as inflationary as it was in the 70s, because the perceptions had changed. That was one. The key is the perception. And the second key is it was stagnant. It was going on the balance sheets of the banks to reliquify the banks, but it wasn't going to Main Street where it would be used for everyday affairs, you know, to buy another house as an inflation hedge, or to, you know, buy gold as an inflation hedge, or to, you know, do anything with that. It wasn't hitting Main Street. It was only hitting Wall Street. And I knew that. But nonetheless, the perception at that time was this is highly inflationary, which from a balance sheet perspective was, because all that funny money went to the balance sheet of the banks, but it had no effect really on the overall economy. So I said, well, we got out at 26 and I'm going to get back in if it gets to 26 based on really fundamentals. So I use both. Some use just technical, some use fundamentals. So I could blow this up, but I think your eyes are sharp enough. Most of you are probably younger than me. And we got up into the 26 range. I got out. It came down here to 25 momentarily. So again, if the market told me it was going above 26, and it did, to get back in, and I did. And I got back in and rode it all the way up to here and got out. Now, when I got out, I was guessing the top. I usually follow up the stop and let the mechanics take me out, but I'm not that greedy. I mean, look at the volume that went up to the top there. I mean, and one of the keys for me, honestly, was subscriptions. I was getting so many subscriptions in a day. It was like I usually get in a month. And I knew that was panic buying, manic buying, phenomenal buying at the top. And you want to sell in the strength. You always want to sell here, you know, here or here or here or even here, but you don't want to start selling over here because that's a straight down drop. There's no buyers left. So you could be right and off 3 days when it starts back down. And instead of getting 48 like we did, the best you'd get would be 40. And just a few days earlier, you could have got 48. Now, am I that good every time? The answer is on the way up. Actually, I have been, and I'm not trying to brag. It's been luck, skill, gift from God. I don't know. I've called every top successfully. I have not done that well on the bottoms. But again, I let the market tell me when it's ready to move up. Now, there'll be somebody out there that'll say, well, David, you should have bought down here at, you know, 12 and held through all of this and all that. It's ridiculous. I mean, you want to get in when you're going to make money. You don't want to get in here. I mean, could you got in here at 12 and then you were really up money there and then you're down here and it's a round trip. You held it all the way. That's what that book Second Chance is about. You don't want to do that. You can take a profit somewhere in there. And, you know, when it gets above 15, anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. I'll just stick to my trading. So that's what we did. I had several people that wrote me a big, huge thank you saying, I'm done. I'm out. I retired 5 years early. I'm out. I'm done. And that's one thing I want you people to know, that you don't have to trade your whole life. You know, you could trade for 1 year if you do it right, and maybe 3 or 4. And if you do it right, you could retire early and do something else or start a business or teach others or whatever. And that's your choice. But the idea, it can become like an addiction. And usually high-powered type A type personalities are the ones that are traders. And investors usually beat traders in the long run, but not always. It depends on a lot of things. So I don't use any, I have software. I hardly ever use it. I was given software because of people knowing what I did and who I am. I hate to say that because I'm not very well known even now, but it was a beta test for Apple computer. You actually had to run this trading software on an Apple, believe it or not. And almost all the software written for trading was on a PC, but this particular one was on a Mac. So I got a Mac so I could try it out. It's actually pretty good. There's lots of them out there. They can help you. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of tools. The problem with technical analysis, in my view, is that there's too many technical indicators and you get bogged down with them. And I speak from experience. So I'm going to tell you a joke. I plan on starting the presentation with this, and you can laugh or not. I'm not a real humorous guy, but so I was in the Bay Area at the time, actually in very close to Silicon Valley. I was trading for a living. Family was young, and I was taking an options course somewhere in San Francisco, and I met this guy named David Yoh, Y-O-H, and he says, you trade for a living? Said, yeah, we do. So we went out to lunch and got to know each other, became friends. He actually introduced me to Rick Ackerman of Rick's Picks. That's just a side story. But anyway, I'm back on point. So David came from Cambridge, so he sort of had that Cambridge accent. And so he told me this joke that I'll never forget. And he said, David, we're both named David, so this shouldn't be too confusing. He says, David, David, do you know why we have so many technical indicators for our trading? And I said, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. I mean, it's to get an advantage, to get an edge, to get the jump, to be better, to succeed. And he says, oh, no, no, no. The reason we have so many technical indicators is so that we can impress the girls at the bar. And there's more truth in that impress the girls at the bar than you might believe. Because if you look at, now there's good ones. I look at others than what I'm showing you, but very seldom. If you, you know, were a paid subscriber looking over my shoulder, I might put up a Bollinger Band and tell you why I'm hedging or writing covered calls on my equity positions or whatever. So there are other useful ones, but you can get paralysis by analysis, you know, and most people don't know how to use stochastics. They just don't. I got a course from a friend of mine. He and I actually did the course together on trading in LA at the LA airport, Hilton, I think it was, one of the hotels on the airport or near the airport. And he had actually met the guy that invented stochastics, and he gave a whole kind of half hour lecture on that. It was quite fascinating. But back on point, keep it simple. 3-day rule. If it does, oh, by the way, when you make that 3-day rule and you're paying 1922 or 1950 or 1999 or whatever, when it breaks out and it's done it, so you have to be a little patient on position trading, that's the only way I trade, then yeah, you might lose a little bit in the beginning, but that will be accurate like 80, 85% of the time. Remember, Las Vegas, when you go to play craps in Las Vegas, it only favors the house by 1.5%. Now the game, you know, blackjack, if you count the cards, it's actually in your favor, but they've kind of done away with that with these four decks and all that. But Wheel of Fortune, roulette, they're higher odds, 3, 4, 5%. But you're looking at it like 80%. So your odds are a lot better than Vegas if you use that 3-day rule. So I think I've said about enough on that. We could go through more trades. I rather hit a trade that took me from 19 to 48, although I had to get back in and cash out. And the other thing is, when you make a trade like that, you know, don't take a year off, or depends on your budget and how much you traded. And oh, I wish I should have, would have, could have, you know, done it differently. And we all learn from our mistakes, but you know, you want to take the longer picture, live to trade another day. But you know, if you make a big trade like that, let's say that's 6 months of what you usually make. Let's just say that's a year's worth. Well, you might not take a year off, but you might take 6 weeks off and just get away from it for a while. I mean, trading can be intense, you know. I'm speaking for myself now. I'm trying to give you someone that's, you know, in their 60s that has been been in the markets since 16 years old, been very obsessed about it at times, learned to become unobsessed about it, learned to take it in stride, takes an elegant approach to it. I think it's elegant. Anything that's simple, succinct, and understandable is elegant. Anything that's convoluted, compressed, can be very annoying. It's very distracting. It's very difficult to understand. It's hard to learn. All that isn't elegant. It's the opposite of it. And there are a lot of systems out there like that. Of course, now with computers, there's a lot of, well, it's green, I buy, it's red, I sell. You know, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with those. Some of those are actually pretty good. I'm nothing against them. But I was asked by David to come on here and tell you how, you know, maybe old school does it. And that's what I'm doing. So there's that. I know we are only 40 minutes in. I know I've got another 15 minutes. So now what I'd like to do is give you, I don't have a drawing. I don't have a drawing. Well, let me try this to do it here. So let me see if I can go back on this and get this into a huge format. So there's a big format. And it's not really, let me just do the, let's see here. Let's try 1 year and see what it looks like. Yeah, this will probably work. So first of all, what I do for my paid subscribers, so no one joins thinking I trade futures all the time, because I don't. Most of the time, what I do is on the equity side. So I use ETFs or leveraged ETFs or equities themselves. Most people can't handle the futures markets because the leverage is so great. Some can. I don't do a lot with options. I used to, but the option, well, let me reframe that. I do a lot with options as the house. So it's at 85%, 15%. I write a lot of covered calls when the market gets overbought. So like Franco Nevada, as being an investor and a trader, very few can do both. I can. Bought a lot of Franco at $20 a share, actually under that. It's at 140 a share now, something like that. So when that stock gets overbought, I'll rent the stock, write a covered call. In other words, sell it. It's covered. So if I get called out, I'm not risking anything. It's almost a zero risk. But you might get get a 10% premium for 2 months. I do that a couple times a year. If you write covered calls on quality stocks in the resource sector, which is my specialty, you can make a minimum of 17 to 20% a year. I had one of the best options guys that I know of. This guy right here, Mike Scanlon, great guy, teaches covered calls. I don't have time to do it. His course is very reasonable. I had him on my mastermind series for our mastermind group, and he did my top tier only, none of my speculations, none of my mid tiers. And the return on that small group of stocks was 44% for the year. Now, that was the year that he did come on as a mastermind educator on that month. Is that true every year? I don't think so. Some years might have been 60, some years might have been 20. I don't know. But I know it's minimum of 20. So here's what I want to talk about options. Very seldom do I buy them. Once in a while, or I sell them when the market conditions tell me to do that. So what I'm going to do is annotate this chart. And so here is a breakout. I missed it slightly. But here's another cup formation where my cursor is. So there's a cup. There isn't much of a handle. You want it to break out above that point, that 19 we keep talking about. And this is another 19. It's not the one we just discussed ad infinitum. So it came out at 19. So you go long. Now in the options, this is, okay, so the main thing about futures that kills everybody, and hardly anyone does this anymore, but back when I was a youth, a lot of people would pyramid up. So you have one contract, you start to win, there's a lot of equity in your account, you buy two more contracts, you win even more, and you buy like three more. So now you're pyramiding upside down. So now any down move or even one limit down move could wipe you out. You'll get killed pyramiding that way. Now, if you want a pyramid, you pyramid like a pyramid. You know, on the breakout, you buy four contracts, it gets higher, you buy two, it gets higher, you think it's still got more to run, you buy one. So now you've built, you know, a triangle, solid base, a little smaller and smaller. You could do that, but I'm going to tell you how to do a reverse pyramid and inverse pyramid and only lose the option premium. This only happens once in a blue moon. It happened when Warren Buffett announced his purchase of silver. When Warren Buffett announced his purchase of silver, silver was around the $5 level and it went up to $8 in a matter of days. So I'm going to use that as kind of the basis for what I'm going to teach you here. So what you do is you wait for one of these big days, like right here, and you only get about 3 days to do this. But this is a very interesting technique. It doesn't take a lot of capital. You can really make a lot of money, but again, it doesn't happen that often. So what happens is you buy there, and let's say you buy one call option for 22. Now it's at 20. So you're buying at $2 out of the money, which is a 10% move. And it moved that much in one day or one trading session. So now you sell that one. So I'm just going to make up the numbers. You guys are all smart enough to get the idea. And we go, so you buy one, it goes to here, you sell it, you buy two, it goes your direction. Maybe it's going to fiddle around for a couple days. Usually I said this is a 3 day move. It could be a week. I'm going to pretend this is, usually you get about 3 days to do what I'm teaching. I know this is more than 3 days. So just pretend there was like, that's 1 day, that's 1 day, and that's 1 day. I don't want you to get the idea from this chart. You could do it with this chart, but really it's one of those really fast moving markets. So anyway, the idea is this. You buy one contract, you buy it out of the money, you're there. You sell that, you buy two, you're there. You sell that, you buy four, you're there, and then you sell and you're done. You usually get 3-4 days to do it. Could it be weeks? Yeah, could be. Don't count on it. So you could do, you know, you could do 2, 4, 8. You could do 1, 3, 5. There's no exact amount. It's just basically you take all your profits and you risk it. So I start with $1,000. It's worth 3,500. I buy 3,500 worth of options, another $2 out of the money. It's there in a few couple days or the next day, really. And then I think it's going to last at least 3 days like it did with Warren Buffett. I buy one more time, the third time, and I buy $2 out near month, and it gets there. I'm done. I'm not that greedy. It goes up again. I don't care. I'm out. So let me see if I can illustrate that a little bit better. I don't know how far back these things go. I know they go back to 20 years, but I think that's not far enough. Because he bought 99, so I don't think it'll do it. Predefined range, so, whoops, predefined range. I think you make that a zero. Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to do it. Oh, let's see. It was end date isn't today. End date was, when was it? He did it in 99. So we'll call it 2000 is the year. We'll call it 3 to be safe, or 03, and we'll call it 03. So that's the end date. And it happened in 2009, and we'll call it 01 for the month and 22, and we will see if it gives us that or not. No, it doesn't. I probably put something in wrong. Anyway, it's one of these type of formations, you know, and he just clipped that out. I just wanted to point that out for these options traders out there. So we're almost there. We got a couple more minutes here. So the only questions come in so far is, what are your current ideas for a chart on silver? Oh, we can drill in. I like to look at it from a long-term perspective. So let's make it a monthly. I want to get this back update. I don't know if that's a monthly or not. I don't want to do that. What do I want? So there's a monthly for the last 3 years or so. So it gives you a kind of a, I like to start big and drill down. So you can see, you know, silver's been, could be very dull for a long time. I think you all know that. So, you know, for all of 2018 to halfway through 2019, we were below 17. And then we got all the way up to like 18 and a half. And then we got that dropout bottom in March to 12 bucks. And then once it broke up, you know, now that horizontal line I taught you, you know, I think I put it in about there, 16, or might've been lower, 15, I forget. You could check my work. I don't erase it. It's on the site for the paid members. And I said, if it gets above that, I bought a ton down here of silver. Anyway, so then it's gone way up. So right now, if you look at it from this perspective, we're probably in another, you know, channel in here. I need to see silver again, you know, teaching what I just taught you. I want to see it get above 27 on close only, 3 days in a row on above average volume. Then I'll be interested in buying. Now, in the meantime, it came off a bit today. It was off a dollar today. So that tells me we're still in an indecision pattern. Anything that goes in a channel formation is an indecision pattern. The bulls and the bears are about equal. That's a dropout bottom. I can explain it, but it sounds like a conspiracy, so I won't. But it's just, you know, started on that month there. It came there. I mean, I think it was really one day, not a month, but it's on a monthly chart. So during that month, it hit 12. It opened a month there. It closed the month there. So it was still at 14, which is interesting. That's where I bought it. I bought it one day before it hit 12. It came up to like 14 or so the next day. But in the physical market, you couldn't have done much better than I did as far as the real metal is concerned. So enough about me. I think we're going sideways to the end of the year. I do expect a good first quarter next year. Do you use simple or exponential volume average? Simple. When I'm looking longer range, I can use exponential, but I don't do it often, but you can. There's nothing wrong with thinking of it both ways. I don't like to overthink anymore. You know, as I said earlier, paralysis by analysis, I'm pretty much out of that mode. But, you know, everyone kind of has to develop their own style, computer assisted or not, and what you're comfortable with. I mean, I went through a day trading school. They had me come down and visit. Also, I did a lecture, a brief one, an hour long. And I saw these guys doing it. To me, it just gave me a big headache. I mean, to me, and I was much younger than then, but it still was middle-aged. It was like a headache waiting to happen. It's like playing a video game for money, you know? And we're all interested in money. We have to have it to live. And, you know, and it's important. But for me, I wasn't willing to sacrifice that much time to do it on a daily basis. So I think we're about there at 255. I know we're the last one of the day. So David, I'll turn it back over to you, or I'll turn it back over to the people that are on here. Is there any other questions before we sign out? And David, you might have some comments or some questions before we close.
Thanks, David. Yeah, great presentation. So we have a couple minutes left if anyone has any other questions. Did you see the one about the exponential volume average?
I did. Yeah, okay, I said I use it occasionally. Okay. I usually use simple. Yeah, I did answer that.
Then closing out the archive and stuff here. So, all right. Well, where do you think silver is headed?
They will hit 40 next year. If you look what we did this year, we went from roughly 18, we'll say, on that breakout, not counting the bottom here. I'm going to call. So what we want to do is we want to look at what it did year over year. So we started January of last year, it was at 18. January of this year, we're at, we'll call it 28. So we got a $10 move. I think we can do twice that good next year, but I'll be conservative. So we go from a 28 to 38 to 48. I'll cut it down to 40. So I think we can hit hit 40. We already hit 30 this year. So that's only $10 up from the high. And I do that based on both technicals and fundamentals. But I think the silver price is headed far, far higher than that over the next couple of years. I just listened to another Mike Maloney. Mike and I are pretty good friends. He's projecting, I think, it's $11,000 gold in November 2023. And I think he's got it about right. I'm not sure about his price of gold. As far as time is concerned, I think that's right. I was going to show a canned presentation. Some of you, if you follow me, know it already. It's called 90% of the Move Comes in the Last 10% of the Time. If you type that into a search engine, use my name, you'll probably find it. I've given that lecture 3 or 4 times. It's been filmed or taped, and so you'll probably find it. Oh, I might do that real quick before we leave. But this is where the really big money is going to be made. It'll be much bigger than the one I showed you where so many people retired. I don't know if that's it. I don't think it is. It might be. Anyway, it's a lecture I gave at Cambridge House. You might find it. You might not. But it's just the fact that most cycles go in 3 phases. The third one is the biggest in percentage and the least in time. And I proved that that was the case in 1980. It will probably repeat similar. It's not an exact 90-10. That's just the idea. Big move. So normally the second leg up is half as big as the third leg up. So the second leg up went from a $9 dropout bottom, like the $12 we saw this year in the financial crisis of 2008. And from that $9 bottom, it went to, we'll call it round numbers 50. So we'll round it up $10 to $50, went up 5-fold. So the next move up is usually twice that move. That's the middle move. The mania, panic, can't get enough, got to have it or I'm going to die move is next. And that move is usually twice, as I said. So if it was up 5-fold, the next one would be up 10-fold. So if we count the dropout bottom of 12 and we multiply it by 10, we get $120. So if we take it as a dropout bottom and don't count it and look at 18 and we multiply it by 10, we're talking $180 silver. Now, I don't know if silver's going to 120 or if it's going to 180, if it's going to 40. I really don't know. The market knows. But from all my work, I do expect it to go at least to 100. I wrote that in 2003 when the market was just starting to come into a bull market. Bull market in silver this time didn't start until September 2003. Most of these huge commodities cycles last about 20 years. If you add 20 to 2003, you come out with 2023, which matches Mike Maloney. Does that make it right? No, it doesn't. But it does suggest that's about the time frame for it. So I think that's it. Is it better to hold the metal or buy stocks? I think it's best to have both. I mean, I am a doomer. Another one you can look at if you haven't seen it already. This one I know will pop up. And that's called the 10 Rules of Silver Investing. I wrote this for the Investing Rules book in the UK. This one's on our website. So here it is. I'm just going to read number one. I know you don't all know how to read, but this is number one, the most important. No one likes to be a prophet of doom, but the simple truth is that if silver is the world's money of last resort, should a severe economic collapse occur, leaving paper assets worthless, silver will be a primary currency for purchase of goods and services. Gold will be a store of major wealth, but will be priced too high for day-to-day use. Thus, every investor should own some physical silver and store a portion of it where it's accessible in an emergency. So I'll never take that back. I wrote that many years ago. But that covers your base. And that's one bag per family is probably more than enough. After that, you can go into equities. But equities usually give you more leverage. Do you think JP Morgan will let it happen? They won't have a choice. At some point, the physical market will overtake them and they'll have to probably make adjustments to what they're doing. But they and others will probably do their best to hold it down. But the market's so tiny. And now with these cryptos that are being backed by silver being used in electric vehicles, silver being used in solar panels, silver being used in a biocide during this health crisis. Masks are going to be lined with silver. You're going to have surfaces that'll be nano silver particles so that they don't, they'll kill whatever's on it. So you'll be seeing more and more silver used. You'll have to be aware of it. They're not going to tell you on the mainstream news about it, but the scientific community and others like myself that follow the market so closely will be aware of it. So I think that's about it, David. I think you can go ahead and went to 3:00. Hopefully you got something out of this.
Yeah, definitely. Great presentation.
All right.
Thanks for closing out the day for us.
Most welcome.